What's going on, 10 and J-Man Show Nation? It's Monday night, July 20th, 2026, episode 504 of the 10 and J-Man Show, streaming live on the ISC Sports Network, along with their Twitch channel, their YouTube channel, their X account, and on the 10 and J-Man Show Facebook page and YouTube channel. Hit that like button, that follow button, that subscribe button, all those good things on both our channels and the ISC Sports Network channels. And make sure you're subscribed to us on your favorite audio podcast platform, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode of our audio version of the podcast. I'm Tanner Lee. Right next to me on my screen, no, that is not Larry the Cable Guy, despite what he's wearing. That's Josh the J-Man Mont.
Yeah. Welcome to the gun show, I guess. It was a complete accident. I lost track of time. Didn't have time to change my shirt, so.
I just think you're wanting to show off the gun or you're working on the tan or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But good time to do some yard work before it. Actually, this whole week's supposed to be decent.
Pretty nice, yeah.
Temperature wise. I think there's some rain forecast tomorrow. But
yeah, we're supposed to have highs in the 70s on Wednesday and Thursday.
I'll take it.
Compared to last week, that's going to feel like fall.
It's going to
be very nice, yeah.
I'll take it. Fall can't come soon enough.
Agreed.
But as you know, September and October are my favorite months of the year.
So yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Bring them on. Did you bring some birdie or bogey trivia with you?
I did. I said 2 weeks ago that I had two trivia questions for you, both shortstop related. And I saved one because I'm lazy for this show here. it's also a Dansby Swanson related question, as I said. He has 9 consecutive seasons with 10 home runs or more, which is tied for 4th all time among American League and National League primary shortstops. He's tied with Trey Turner. That's one of the guys he's tied for. And he's tied with Vern Stevens, who's I've really never heard of. There are 3 guys who have had more consecutive seasons with 10 home runs or more that have played shortstop. I also think I said I would give you a hint this week. So, my hint is, all 3 of those guys played in our lifetime.
Okay.
So, birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place and Arlington Public House. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites to keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Over the weekend at the Arlington Public House, they had roasted peach pork loins.
Oh, man.
Brown sugar roasted peach stuffed with cornflake crusted pork loins, topped with creamy burrata? B-U-R-A-T-A. Yeah. Burrata. More crispy pork loins and finished with fresh peaches.
You know what? I'd mess up a plate of one of those, I tell you what.
I've never heard of
such
a thing like that, but it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty pretty creative there at the Arlington Public House.
They really are. You know, they've hired a new chef a couple months ago, and she's pretty young and likes to experiment. So,
yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different stuff you can do with food. I've gotten into cooking myself, not to that level, but I've liked to experiment a little bit with my cooking, with what I throw on the smoker or throw on the grill or whatever. So I get it.
What's the latest thing you've experimented with?
Oh, man. It's not really an experiment. It's like a pretty normal thing. But I've been chopping up andouille sausage, the Cajun sausage, and putting it in a big, you know, metal tin thing. And put a bunch of seasoning on it with hot honey, barbecue sauce, brown sugar, butter. Mix it all together. Put it on the smoker for about 2 hours. And golly, is that good.
Golly.
Golly.
That does sound pretty good. I'm a big fan of the andouille sausage. So.
Me too.
Yep. But it was an eventful sports weekend. The World Cup has come to an end. I don't know how many minutes total I watched of it, but it was like probably under 10.
I couldn't tell you who won.
Spain beat Argentina.
Spain won? Okay.
Yeah.
That's how little I watched of it. It was a grand total of, in fact, I take it back. I watched about 10 minutes in a waiting room just because that was the only thing on TV.
That's what happened to me at a restaurant.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yep. So I'm just not into soccer. Not into football.
I'm not either. It's just, I know it's the world's most popular sport. Mm-hmm. But just, I think it's got a culture problem when guys just, and I know the NBA, there's some floppers. Don't get me wrong. Soccer, every team's got like five of them.
Yeah.
They're just flopping their bodies on the ground. It's ridiculous. I mean, I guess I didn't see it, but I heard on the radio today. They took one of Spain's goals away yesterday because a guy stepped on another guy's foot.
That's pathetic.
It's sports.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I don't understand the timing of it either. Yeah. Like, you get 90 minutes. Oh, then you get 7 minutes or 10 minutes extra time, and then it just ends. Like, how do you know when it's going to end? I don't get it. I don't care to get it either. And I saw some Americans say, who's that guy for? Is it Norway or Sweden? Holland? H-A-A?
Yeah. Yeah.
So somebody's like, why don't we have a guy like that? And somebody said, because he'd be an all-pro defensive end or tight end. NFL. That's why we don't have a guy like that playing soccer.
Exactly.
So I just don't. Every 4 years, some soccer fans are like, oh, it's going to turn into America's second, third favorite sport. And it just, people forget.
Nope.
People don't care.
Nope. I mean, people got pumped for it this year, of course, being in the U.S., hosted in the U.S., but it'll go back down until 4 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anyone will even talk about it at all.
Nope. Nope. But had the start of the second half of the MLB season.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the 154th playing of the Open Championship, in which we had a first-time major winner, Ryan Fox.
Yeah.
Which, shout out to Ryan Fox. The dude barely makes the cut Friday. Just gets hot Saturday, shoots 6-under par, and grinds out another round yesterday. I mean, it shows you at the tour level, as long as you make the cut, these guys are good enough. You got a chance.
Yeah.
No matter how far back you are. I mean, Cameron Young came out yesterday. He was 7 back and he ended up losing by one stroke. I mean, if Ryan Fox doesn't birdie that last hole, he's in a playoff with Cameron Young, who was, like I said, 7 back starting yesterday. So you just never know.
What was the controversy with Bryson?
So I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to talk about it, because Bryson did not win. So your book at, curse stays good till next year. But so on the fifth hole on Friday, he was in this really tall heather stuff. And when he walked around to look at his ball, he was just walking, but on replay, it looked like he kind of stomped or put pressure down his foot kind of hard while he was walking in a certain area. He kept walking. Well, he finishes his round. The RNA, who runs the Open Championship, it's not PGA Tour, it's an organization called the ROA over R&A over in Europe. They decided that him stomping around enough was enough to make it the grass go down, make it easier for his backswing.
Ah.
So they addressed him with a 2-stroke penalty. He tried to challenge it, even kind of threatened that he might not play.
Mm-hmm.
Made the right decision in my mind deciding to play, because I was going to look really bad if he didn't. But I understand him being frustrated. He probably shouldn't have really had that one stomp, but I don't think it was any worse than what Wyndham Clark did in the U.S. Open, and he didn't get charged for any penalty. Nobody talks about that, where it looked like he improved his lie.
Hmm.
You know, there's guys who came to his defense, Scottie Scheffler, Max Homa, Russell Henley. You know, some of those guys said, we've known Bryson our whole life, and he's many things, but one thing, he's not a cheater. Russell Henley said, it's tough being Bryson when you're about every shot you hit on camera.
Yeah.
He goes, a guy like me, barely any of my shots are on camera. So, you know, there could have been other guys doing something similar out there that didn't.
Sure.
You know, get caught. Then you got Rory McIlroy that came out and said, I'm not fond of the guy. I think he did it on purpose, which they don't like each other. Everybody knows that. But Rory's kind of, I don't know. He's very liked, but yet he's very not liked.
I can't stand him anymore.
I can't either.
He
last 2 years, I think he's become a pompous.
He is. You know what? And he said Bryson's very performative, which he kind of is. Rory is too. Rory's been throwing clubs, and he's you know, slamming his club into the sand and all of that.
Yep.
So he's kind of a hypocrite in that aspect.
Yep. And Rory, what gets me is he just doesn't. And to credit to everybody, I know everybody changes like their career with their lives and everything when they become father. He doesn't seem to like want to play much golf. Like he said today, he's not playing for like a month. And like he pretty much said that tournaments and the FedEx Cup, aside from the majors, don't mean as much to him as they used to. Or don't have lots of egos. He goes, as long as you make the FedEx Cup and have enough points to get in top 30, you technically don't even have to play the first two FedEx tournaments, and then you just got to play in the final. Because if you're in the top 30 and you qualify, you can win. He's not wrong, but that's not what you want one of your faces of the organization to be saying.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure the PGA loved that he said that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Scottie Scheffler, if he could have just made some putts, he would have won.
Yeah.
That dude was sticking at 10 to 15 feet all day yesterday and just could not make a putt. Bryson was hanging in there, but he's fighting for his life, and then he triple bogeyed the 11th hole. That took him out. I thought my guy Ricky was going to make a run Saturday morning. He came out guns a-blazing and was 3-under through his first five holes and had a six-footer on the sixth hole, which if he would have made it, he would have went clear to eighth at the time. He missed. And then the seventh hole, he got a terrible break. It's a short par three. It's like 115 yards. He hit 7 feet from the hole, took a wicked kick left, rolled all the way off the green.
Oh, boy.
They literally go to commercial. It's like a minute later. They come back. He's hitting his fourth. Instead of putting his second, he grabbed a long iron and tried to do a bump and run and chip, and it rolled back down to his feet. Did it two times.
Oh, no.
Then ends up getting a double bogey, and then he bogeys the next hole completely back to where he started the day. And then he played okay yesterday. I think he ended up 3-under for the tournament, which got him, I believe, in the top 30. But it was just crazy. Like, it was fun five or six holes while it lasted.
Yeah.
And, like, I was up. Like, my stomach woke me up, giving me issues Saturday morning. So I was up at 4-something in the morning. I turned the open on. He happened to be teeing off. So I watched those first six holes. And then after he collapsed, I turned it off and went back to sleep for an hour and a half. Then I woke up when I wanted to wake up. So, but that is one nice thing about the Open. You can turn on very early in the morning, watch to mid afternoon, then you got the rest of your day to do whatever you want if you're a golf fan. So, you know, growing up, it wasn't one of my favorites to watch, but now I think it's my favorite tournament to watch. I like links style golf. I think it's fun to watch. It's totally like yesterday, the fairways were so hard. One of the analysts was bouncing a basketball up to his shoulder to show you how hard they were. Huh. The fairways were faster than the greens.
Wow.
Which is tough when you're hitting 300-yard shots and you can't control it after it hits the ground.
How was the weather?
It was actually pretty tame.
Pretty good? Because it's usually nasty, it seems
like. Got a little windy, but there was no big rain or storms or anything. Very dry, that's why. The fairways were just dried out from the sun. So, yeah. Next year, the 155th Open is at St. Andrews.
Okay.
Famous St. Andrews, birthplace of golf. So, yeah, but it's kind of hard to believe. Scottie Scheffler, 0-for in the majors this year.
That is hard to believe, yeah. When's the last time he's gone 0-for?
That's a great question. I feel like it's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
Because last year he won the Open. He's yet to win the PGA or the US Open. That's the one he needs still to win the Grand Slam. So that'll be a headline next year.
Yeah.
But your major winners this year were Rory McIlroy, Aaron Rye, Wyndham Clark, and Ryan Fox. So not the biggest
huge names.
I mean, Wyndham's now multi-time US Open champion, and Rory's Rory, but Aaron Rye and Ryan Fox, first time winners. So But fun tournament. There was a lot of guys in contention yesterday when it started. And we went to Wing Center for lunch yesterday, and it was on there. And there's some other golf fans in there watching. So I think golf fans enjoyed this one. And Ryan Fox, I didn't know much about him. He's from New Zealand. And Seems like a good dude. He's got a funky golf swing. He kind of dips down, and then his body comes up. It's really – I would love to know how many guys were out around the country today trying to practice a swing on the range, and I guarantee you it went awful for about every single one of them. So, yeah. Yep. So, yeah. But like I said, start of the second half of the baseball season, which brings me to my blind rankings. Baseball related, but in the Hollywood sense.
Ooh, okay.
I got all five baseball movies. I want you to rank them one to five based on how much you like
it. Hopefully, if I've seen them all. I think I've seen them all. Majority of them, anyway.
You probably have. There's a couple I purposely left off because I knew where you would rank them.
Right.
But we will start with 2002, Dennis Quaid starred in The Rookie.
Oh, man, I loved that movie when I was a kid. Obviously, a very cool story about Jim Morris, 35. I think he was 35 years old. Open tryout. He got signed to a contract and then made his debut with the Rays. Tampa Bay Devil Rays at that point. I'm going to put that four. I would say that's four. On the lower end of my favorites.
I like the scene where he's throwing on the highway with the radar gun.
Yeah.
And he throws and he thinks it's like 76 or whatever, shaking his head, goes past it, and the bulbs come back on and show 96.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or whatever it was. I always liked that thing.
That was cool.
Yep. And I like when he gives his kid a call.
Uh-huh.
Tell him he's gonna be in the big leagues.
Yep.
So yep. I think that's a fair ranking for, but I think it is not talked about enough though.
Yeah, just
because it's a Disney produced.
I probably haven't seen it since I was a kid, honestly.
I come across it every once in a while on TV. I can't say I watch the whole thing, but usually I'll watch a couple things.
Yeah.
And there's some actors that were young in that movie that have gone on to play in some other noteworthy shows and movies. So 1989 Major League.
Major League. Love that one, obviously. Gotta watch when I was a little bit older because you can't really watch it when you're a kid. I mean, you can.
I mean, you can, but yeah, you probably, not to.
Probably shouldn't. I'm gonna put that two. That's definitely a classic.
I even thought Major League Two was pretty decent.
Yeah,
Major League Two for a sequel. But the original's a good one. I mean, I got Charlie Sheen in there and a lot of, and I liked how the sequel returned most of the cast, not everybody, but most of them.
Yeah.
So, 1988, Bull Durham.
Bull Durham.
Man. I don't know if I've ever watched this movie in completion.
It's exactly what I was about to say. Obviously, I know of it. Kevin Costner, right? He's in Bull Durham. It's one of those that I've watched on TV before, but probably not the whole thing, bits and pieces of. I'm going to put it three, though.
Yeah. Costner loves playing in baseball movies.
He does, yeah. Big baseball
guy. He's in three, as far as I know, that Field of Dreams and League of For Love of the Game.
For Love, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think I've seen that one completion.
I don't know if I've ever seen that one. Sure.
1992, Tom Selleck and Mr. Baseball.
Never seen that one.
Really? Okay.
Never seen Mr. Baseball, so I'm going to have to put it five.
All right.
Sure, it's good, though.
That's worth a watch. Yeah. I mean, he, you know, old has-been that goes over to Japan and finds his love for the game again. Or actually, I think he gets traded to Japan or something. Yeah, but it's definitely a 90s movie. So you got one left, right?
Yes.
Well, that's going to be the 1976 movie, The Bad News Bears.
Bad News Bears. Okay. Number one. I like the original more than the remake back in the early 2000s. That's another one. I think I've only seen the remake, though. I don't know if I've ever seen the whole thing of the original one, but obviously got to put it number one. For that one, re-ranking, Major League's easy one. Two, I'd probably put The Rookie. Three, Bull Durham. Four, Bad News Bears. And then five, Mr. Baseball.
Yeah. I didn't put Moneyball because I know how you feel about that movie.
Love that movie.
I thought Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
If it was in there with Moneyball, it's probably two. Two. If it's in there with anything else, probably one.
Probably one. Same with The Sandlot, I would say.
Yep, I knew that.
Angels in the Outfield as well.
I thought about throwing that in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have thrown all the heavy hitters and that
would
have been
interesting. Yeah, yeah. That would have made it difficult too.
But I've learned that you have not watched all these. So.
Yeah. I probably, if you would have thrown the heavy hitters in there, I'd say probably Sandlot would be number one. Then Sandlot's just a good movie, regardless of baseball. It's just a great movie.
I thought about 42.
I like that one too.
Yeah. 61. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I think I saw it on TV.
8 Men Out.
Love 8 Men Out. Yeah, yeah, love that one. I used to have it on DVD.
Yeah.
Rookie of the Year too. That's another one that probably yep. was close to number one.
Yep. Yep.
Trying to think of some other baseball movie. They haven't made a good sports movie in a while. It's been a long while.
No. Yeah. I can't even think of the last one. I mean, they come out with a lot of boxing movies.
Yeah, yeah. Probably my least favorite baseball. I mean, we saw Benchwarmers 2. That was a bad one. Me and yeah. you were watching that at your house.
Yeah.
The first Benchwarmers, in fact, last Sunday, a week ago yesterday, we're just looking for some stupid movie to put on while we played with our kids, so I put on Benchwarmers. It holds up pretty
good. Yeah, it's got some good. It's got some good ones.
Funny. Yeah.
It's got a good cast to it.
Yeah.
Trouble
with the Curve was horrible.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake.
Man.
Clint Eastwood.
Horrible movie.
What's the one? There's another one that had an Indian pitcher in it.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I know exactly which one you're talking mm-hmm. about. There was also one with, who's the guy? Brendan Fraser, right? Wasn't
yeah.
he the one?
Yeah.
That he threw really hard. Yeah, he was a Yankee.
Yeah.
I forget what the name of that one was called, though.
Yep. You know, and I could have put League of Their Own in there.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Little Big League.
Little Big League. The mom on that is obviously Pete Crow Armstrong's mother in real life.
I did not know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
I think I've said it enough in the group chat. Andrew tells me to shut up because that's one of his favorite Andrew Eiler. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely more baseball movies than any other sport.
Yeah. But I would say none of the baseball movies are like my favorite as far as sports movies go, because that's probably I can't think of the name. I remember the Titans. There it is.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie.
Yeah, that's my favorite sports
movie. That's one I have to watch every time. At least once a year. I should say not every time.
Agreed.
Once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good list. Good I like that
good,
one.
Good job, man. Guess you got some homework to watch.
I do, yeah.
I would at least watch Mr. Baseball. It's definitely a early 90s movie, but I think it's pretty good. So. Yeah. And that is the Blind Ranking Simic, which is brought to you by, like as every week, Performer Print Suit Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026 or 2027, since we're halfway through 2026, they have over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Do you want to be educated here real quick?
I need it. It feels like a Monday today. Let's
pull this up here. My mom just texted me, Million Dollar Arm. Wasn't that? Yeah.
Yep. I thought it had Million Dollar in it, but then I'm thinking, Million Dollar Baby. That was a boxing movie.
On this day in 1858, the first admission fee is charged to watch a baseball game. Can you tell me how much it costs to get in the ballpark? 1858.
5 cents.
50 cents. That was a lot of money back then. New York beats Brooklyn 22-18.
1858, you said?
1858.
All right.
18, do the inflation calculator on that one.
Yep.
On
keep going on all
this day in 1932, an injured Babe Ruth entertains the touring Australian cricketers in his private box at Yankee Stadium.
Touring cricketers.
Yeah.
50 cents in 1858 is equivalent in purchasing power to about $20.43
today. I guess it wasn't that expensive.
So 2.23% over the past 168 years, meaning prices are about 40.87 times higher overall.
When's the last time you could get into a sporting event that wasn't a high school sporting event for $20 or less?
Some Long really god awful college teams against each other, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. but still.
Yeah.
Professional, definitely not.
Oh, gosh, no.
On this day in, got some Tour de France. PGA Championship, 1958. Who won?
1958 PGA Championship. 58. Well, Arnold never won the PGA. That's before Jack got on tour. Gary Player.
Dow Finsterwald won his first PGA Championship.
I could have guessed 186 guys, and Dow Finsterwald wouldn't have been one of them.
Oh, it was the first PGA Championship held in the current stroke play format.
Oh.
So I don't know what they were doing before that.
Wonder if they were doing match play or something.
No, I don't know. Mm-hmm. He won by two over Billy Casper.
I have heard of Billy Casper.
On this day in 1968, the first Special Olympics for children and adults with intellectual disabilities is held in what city?
Indianapolis?
Nope, Chicago.
Okay, I
thought Chicago. Yeah, birthplace of Special Olympics.
That's cool. I didn't realize it went back to 68.
I didn't either. I thought it was much more recent than
that. That was like in the 80s.
Yeah, me too. On this day in 1976, Hank Aaron hit his 755th and last career homer.
He was pretty good. Like we said last week, 25-time All-Star.
Yeah. Who won the 1980 British Open?
80? Let's go with Tom Watson.
It was Tom Watson. All right. Won his third of his five Open titles.
Should have won six. 2009, he lost in the playoff as a 50-some-year-old old man.
2009, he was still...
He bogeyed the last hole. It was a heartbreaker going into the playoff. He hit a beautiful second shot that somehow went over to the green that he didn't get up and down and lost his tour sink in the playoff. Yeah.
That stinks.
It was incredible that he was like right there.
Who won the British Open on this day in 1986?
86. Jack won the Masters that year. Let's go with Greg Norman.
You got it.
I am pulling these out of somewhere.
It was his first major.
I was going to say, like after I said that, I was like, that might be a little early, but.
Yeah. This is an interesting one for first baseman. 1987, New York Yankees Don Mattingly ties the first base fielding record with 22 putouts in a single game.
Wow.
20, assuming it didn't say it went into extra innings, but 22 of the 27 outs ended with.
That's crazy.
Mattingly, that is pretty crazy.
Wow.
On this day in 1997, who won the British Open?
Tiger won the Masters that year. Was it Mark Calcavecchia?
Justin Leonard.
Ah, shoot.
Yeah.
2-time major winner. I thought it was somebody kind of like a decent career, but okay.
Who won in 2003?
Was that Ben Curtis?
It was, yes.
All right.
He became the first debut winner since Tom Watson in 75 in his first major appearance at 396 in the world rankings. That's
the only crazy thing he ever did in his career, he's not on tour anymore, to my knowledge. He, for a while, was sponsored by the NFL and would wear the NFL team shirt of whatever city
That's kind of cool.
They were in or was closest to. I saw him live at the Memorial when you throw a club because he hit a grounder with a fairway wood. So he tossed his fairway wood up to his ball.
Who won in 2008?
2008 was Padraig Harrington.
It was.
Back to back. Beat Sergio Garcia in a playoff, I believe.
It says to be four strokes clear of runner up Ian Poulter.
Okay. Now that was there next year. He beat Sergio in the playoff then.
Who won in 2014?
2014 was Rory McIlroy.
It was. Runner-up
was Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, Sergio Garcia and Ricky Fowler. 2015.
Phil won in 13. I think it was Phil 15. No, Darren Clark was 13. Phil Mickelson.
Zach Johnson.
Ah, shoot. What year did Phil win it, darn it? Phil might have been 13 then. Okay.
What about last year?
Last year, Scotty Scheffler.
That was Scotty. Yep.
Yep.
Over Harris English.
I could not have told you who got second. Yeah. So.
Well, he finished four strokes back, so it wasn't all that close.
Yeah.
But that'll do it for On This Day this week.
Good list. Good list. On This Day is brought to you by, like it is every, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing.
LeBron James, it seems like he's down to three teams, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Miami Heat. The expectation is that he's going to make his choice this week. The drama king was liking to drag this out as long as possible and get as much attention as possible. Where do you think
going,
he ends up?
Going back to the East, he'll either be a Cav for the third time, the Heat for the second time, or the Sixers for the first time. I think he becomes a Cav for the third time.
You know, the Sixers to me makes no sense. I mean, they have Jaylen Brown now, obviously. Tyrese Maxey, I think he's still there. Is he there? I don't know.
Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid, who plays half the games, maybe. I still don't view them as a title contender. They're a contender, but I don't think they'd be considered even the odds-on favorite to win the East, although the East is pretty wide open. This will be the J-Man's Book It prediction of the week. I think he ends up back in Miami. That's just my thoughts. Of course, I follow the Dolphins guys who also cover the Heat as well, so I get some info from them, and they're pretty biased when it comes to that, so that's why probably my thinking is skewed. I think he'd be smart to go back to Cleveland and just end his career there. And
even though Cleveland, you got Mitchell, you got Harden.
Harden's
would LeBron even be the number two guy? Probably not.
Yeah, there's definitely not enough balls to go around there, especially with Harden there, where Giannis and LeBron, I think, can coexist.
I forgot. He's a Heat.
That team, I mean, you have Bam, you have LeBron, you have Giannis. That's not a very good shooting team from outside at all.
Tyler Hero.
No, he's with Milwaukee now because he got traded. Remember him?
Oh, he's part of that trade. That's right.
Him and Bam got into fisticuffs in the summer league.
That's right.
In Vegas. I guess it wasn't during the summer league because they're not playing the summer league. But, yeah. Yeah, not a whole lot of shooting if he does end up in Miami because LeBron's never been a great three-point shooter. Bam doesn't shoot threes. Giannis is below 30% for his career, so that'd be an interesting one. But J-Man's Book of Prediction Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact us at 219-869-4561. Book it!
And before we get into MLB talk, it's that time of the year where the NFL is rolling out their NFL Top 100. List, which is interesting, like more so now than ever. It's a what have you done lately list. Have you been following this at all?
No. So I know there's probably only going to be one Dolphin, so I don't really care.
So far today was 60 through 51.
Okay.
I'll go through these really quickly. 100 was Cameron Jordan. He was not on the list last year. Quentin Nelson was 99. He was not on the list last year. 98 was Bryce Young. No, it helps be a quarterback, I'll tell you.
It already invalidates the list to me. It seems like it's gotten worse every single year, too, the list has.
97, Ernest Jones of the Seahawks. 96, Travis Etienne. 95, DeMario Davis. 94, Creed Humphrey, the first guy that was on the list last year. He went down a spot. 93, Carson Schlesinger. For the Browns. 92, Azeez Al-Shaair of the Texans. 91, Montez Sweat.
Is he still with the Bears?
Yes.
Okay.
90, Derek Brown. 89, Kyren Williams, who went down four spots of the LA Rams. 88, Jack Campbell. A lot of linebackers. 87, McMillan. I'm not trying to, of the Panthers, I'm not trying to say his first name.
No, T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T. Yeah.
Yep. 86, another one that I'm going to botch his name, but he's the linebacker for the Chargers. He's got the Hawaiian last name.
Yeah, I can't help you. Sorry.
Brock Purdy, 85th.
Oh, boy.
Byron Young, 84. Jeffrey Simmons, 83. Jalen Ramsey down 16 spots to 82.
Surprised he's still in the top hundo. That must be
Bobby Wagner down seven spots to 81.
Surprised he's still in the top 100 too.
And these are voted on by the players.
Popularity contest.
AJ Brown down 51 spots to number 80.
He's a cancer.
Travis Kelce down 42 spots to 79.
He hasn't put up good numbers in years.
Josh Sweat up 17 spots at 78. Baker Mayfield down 27 spots to 77.
Man, they imploded at the end of the year last year, didn't they?
Yes.
They were horrible. Forgot about that.
He did too.
Yeah, he was bad. He was.
J.C. Horn is at 76. Buda Baker down 41 spots, 75. Josh Jacobs down 41 spots, 74. One of my boys from the Broncos, Zach Allen, up 17 spots to 73. Jordan Love down four spots, 72.
He stinks.
Zay Flowers at 71. Xavier McKinney down 40 spots at 70. Lamar Jackson down 67 spots.
So he was number 69. Two last year? He was number two last year, huh?
Cortland Sutton at 68 was not on the list last year. Jordan Brooks, 67. There you go.
Oh, there's another Dolphin.
Drake London up 31 spots to 66. Roquan Smith down 25 spots to 65. Chris Olave, 64. Kyle Hamilton down 12 spots to 63. Trevor Lawrence, 60.
Stinks.
Kevin Byard, 61. And then today's list, Brock Bowers down 36 spots to 60.
He just doesn't have a quarterback.
Bo Nix up five spots to 59. And, it was the 59 today. So, there we go. Got to think Caleb Williams will be coming up in the next 20-some picks. Drake May will probably be top 15. I think about it. He was runner-up for MVP, quarterback, and he made the Super Bowl. That's going to get him up there.
They played no one.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Dead time now, it's something to talk about.
Yeah. When Sertan will be top 10, top 20 at least.
Yeah, at least top 20, I think. Yeah. I think he was top 10 last year.
Who else would be up there for Denver? Anyone?
Garrett Bowles.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Quinn Meinerts. But Garrett Bowles will definitely be up there somewhere.
Yeah, he'll be up there.
I haven't really seen too many offensive linemen yet.
No.
But.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh, there's going to be probably one dog. I wouldn't even think of Jordan Brooks. I was thinking A-Chan will probably be in the top 50, I'd imagine.
Yeah. So got a couple. Represent better than some teams, though.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone would even sniff. If Waddle isn't on there yet, he's probably not going to be on there, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I doubt after last year.
Last 2 years, really.
Yeah, last 2 years didn't get 1,000 yards. So.
Yeah, been hurt a lot.
But it's just one of those. I mean, Lamar had a bad year last year, but saying he's 69 is kind of laughable. Crazy.
Yeah.
So quarterbacks left. Josh Allen.
Matt Honestly, Stafford. If it was what have you done for me lately, Mahomes should be down in the 60s, really.
Yeah, he'll be on there too.
He'll probably be in the top 15 still.
Yeah. Stafford might be number one. Shouldn't be. I mean, he's MVP, but.
Stafford, Caleb Williams, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Drake May.
Drake May. I bet Daniels falls off.
Yeah. Jared Goff. You think he'd be up there? Probably up there.
Yeah. I bet Sam Darnold's up there.
Yeah. He's got to be up there, right?
I mean, what have you done for me lately? You won a Super Bowl.
Anyone?
Baker was already on there.
CJ Stroud can't be on there, can he? Well, I don't think so. Dak's probably on there then, which I don't think he's all that great either.
Yeah.
If Purdy's on there, you got to put Dak on there.
I mean, Lawrence 62.
Herbert's still up there.
Oh, yeah, Herbert. Herbert, yeah. That's probably it, though, right?
Yeah, no, Dolphins won. If Bryce Love is up there, it should be about 20 guys ahead of him at least.
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young. I always get him screwed up.
Yeah, Bryce Love.
Always.
Good college running back.
Yeah, it's a very good college running back.
Got hurt.
Him and C.J. McCaffrey were pretty dang good 1-2 punch there.
Christian.
What'd I say, C.J.?
C.J.
I need to go to bed, man.
You're having like me last week.
I know.
It's one of
C.J. McCaffrey. Where did I even pull that from? I was just thinking C.J. Stroud, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
That's where I got
C.J. Spiller.
Oh, I've heard that name.
We must have missed somebody, Dad. Oh, Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's been hurt, he's still pretty good. He's helping.
I'm excited for football season where I can rip on Josh Allen every week and your dad gets mad at me.
Doesn't take much. No. Just do Josh Allen, do Luca when it comes to NBA. Yeah. Baseball, he's a big Mike Trout guy.
I like Mike Trout. Nothing bad to say
about
him.
He does like Aaron Judge a lot, too.
I don't mind Judgy. Judger. Wish Carson Wentz was still around so I can make fun of him.
Carson Wentz. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he takes a liking to a couple of guys. And I mean, I thought he was going to watch the Open yesterday. And when Bryson started off bad, he decided to go play golf.
He's a Bryson guy, huh?
Yeah. My dad roots for a lot of the Liv guys, which I'm agreement with. We don't like Brandel Chamblee, one of the guys on the Golf Channel. He's very arrogant and will say nothing nice about any guy on the Liv tour.
He's company man. Company man.
Oh, yeah. The only guy I know that likes Brandel Chamblee is Aaron Lynch.
That's the least surprising thing you've ever said.
He loves Brandel.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yep. So, yeah. Lynch, I know you're listening. I'm surprised you didn't text me during the Open this weekend. So.
Lynch texted me today. I'll have to talk about what he said.
White Sox.
Wasn't anything crazy. It was, yeah, it was about the White Sox. Wasn't anything crazy today.
Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, we're only a couple weeks away from our college football previews. J-Man and I were discussing it today in text message. We're going to start it a week earlier than normal. Our first one's going to be on August 3rd. We're going to talk about some of the non-Power 4 conference teams that we think could make the playoff.
Oh, boy. I have no idea. I'm just going to have to pull something out, honestly.
I mean, off the top of your head, you got to think Boise State will be good.
Boise State, Liberty is usually pretty good, too. Yeah. Coastal Carolina, not Coastal. Tulane made the playoff last year, but they lost their head coach.
Yep.
Problem with those.
He's at Florida, right?
Yeah. Summerall. Summerall?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They just get ravaged by
the portal. I don't think anybody from the MAC can do it because usually the MAC schools play a Big Ten team.
Yeah.
In the non-con, and usually they don't beat them.
I about said, well, Miami of Ohio was good last year, but that was basketball. I don't know anything about their football team.
They did make a bowl game last year.
Did they?
I mean, 75 teams make a bowl.
Yeah. Well, not as many anymore.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that we're not thinking of that has got a stud quarterback or something that'll give them a chance. But one non-Power 4 team has to make the playoffs. So
yeah,
we'll be talking that. And then October. August 10th will be Big 12. August 17th, SEC. August 24th, ACC and Notre Dame. Well, because Notre Dame plays 5 or 6 ACC schools a year. And then August 31st, which is leading up to week one, Big Ten.
Yeah. Well, Eli Drinkwitz said today from Missouri.
Yes, he did.
Part of the reason why the Big Ten won those national titles, 3 straight national titles, well, and you don't play a non-conference A4 game, whatever that means. I don't even know what
A4 means. Yeah, I was like, what does A4 mean? Does he mean P4? And he said A4?
Maybe. Which still, it doesn't make any sense because you got to go through a gauntlet to win the 3-4 games in the playoff to get there. And teams and our good friend Cameron Screeton, who takes offense to a lot of things anyone says about Indiana football, which I get, they just won a national title.
Right.
He said today, Missouri last year in the non-conference played Central Arkansas, Louisiana, and UMass in the non-con. You see teams like Georgia playing Mercer in the middle of
the
November.
They did play Kansas as well.
Oh, boy, Kansas.
But that's the rivalry game. They have to.
They went 3-9 last year.
I know.
I don't know if they went 3-9. I assume that
they weren't good. They weren't good though.
Stunk.
Yeah.
They
were supposed to be decent too.
SEC, they're finally not winning national titles, and they think everyone else is cheating or doing something.
I agree. There's no reason. And when it comes to football, unless you buy the teams out, a lot of these schedules are made so far in advance.
Yeah.
like Purdue's playing a home and home this year, next year with Wake Forest, which Wake Forest is on Purdue's level. That's fine. Notre Dame, I like it from a rivalry standpoint, but they kick Purdue's teeth in year out. Yeah. That does them no good. Indiana State, that's fine. Ideally, I've always wanted Purdue to play a Power Four, a MAC, and a
FCS,
FCS, yeah. or FBS level two, I think they call it now, but FCS.
Yeah,
But I do think there should be a rule in place that every Power Four team plays at least one Power Four non-conference game.
Absolutely. It should be that
It'd be good for the fans.
Mm-hmm. You get to play somebody you don't play very often.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Don't care if it's neutral. Don't care where it's at.
Yeah. I remember when these schedules came out, like, for instance, Illinois, like 10 years ago, it was announced. Illinois signed a home-and-home with Duke to play in the year 2025-2026. Right. It's 2026. The previous athletic director was the one that scheduled these games, and Illinois has the longest tenured athletic director in the Big Ten now. Exactly. He wasn't even there then. I mean, that's how it's crazy. And again, yeah, like you said with Wake Forest and Purdue, Duke is very much on the same level as Illinois is.
So. No, Illinois is way better than Duke in football.
They are right now, probably.
Even Duke's okay. Manny Diaz, did win the ACC last year.
I was going to say, they won the ACC. Illinois killed them last year.
Yeah, like Duke. 8-5 or whatever it was.
Yeah, but they also lost their quarterback to Miami this offseason and all that. So.
Like when Purdue gets a new AD come, I mean, he'll go in office in January of 27, but hopefully it's announced well before that.
Right.
I'm sure that won't be his first thing, but I'm sure it will be on his list of things to do to look at that non-conference football schedule and say,
make it easy.
Where can we get out? Because they got, like I said, Wake Forest, they got a home and home with North Carolina coming up, which I hope that stays because I'd like to see Bill Belichick and Ross Ade.
He'll be gone by then, probably.
And then they have a return trip to TCU in like 2029 from the game they played in 2019.
Oh, man.
Then they got a home and home in the 2030s with Ole Miss.
Yikes.
Yeah. That's which brutal. God knows what college football world's going to look like by then.
Heck, they'll probably be in the same conference by then or something.
Could be. Or Purdue could be relegated down to where a lot of other teams will be.
A minor conference.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. But, no, it's a lot of things I think are pretty easy to figure out in college athletics, but they don't ask our opinions. So.
No, they don't.
And one school needs to figure things out is Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, it was very clear that their athletic director probably should have been fired. They've had so many scandals the past 3 years, and now he's going to step down at the end of the year. Just fire him now. What's the point of keeping him? Obviously, you had the football scandal was the big one. But there have been multiple other. I mean, he had the Jawan situation, which was a nightmare. But it really all comes back to football, honestly. You had the cheating scandal, then you had the Sharon Moore scandal, and they have handled all of that very, very poorly.
Oh, just awful.
So, and unfortunately, they've won two big time national titles the past 3 years. So,
Yep. All right. Now let's talk some baseball.
Yeah, second half is underway. Cubs went 2-1 over the weekend. Didn't really show up on Friday, so that kind of irked me a little bit after 5 days off.
I could tell on Twitter.
But then they bounced back the past two games, including winning 10-1 last night. But first, I want to kind of talk Home Run Derby. On Netflix, they said, well, the Home Run Derby had the lowest ratings they've had ever. Like, they're going to be lower on a streaming platform.
Exactly.
That's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I thought it was the best Home Run Derby in a decade.
I enjoyed it and watched it in completion for first time in years.
Yeah. Oh, exact same. I think the only guy I missed was Caglianone. I've never been able to pronounce his name, but he was the only guy I missed. I didn't miss anything, so I think he finished dead last.
Yeah.
But love the new format. First round, you get 20 swings. Next two rounds, you get 15. You keep going if you keep hitting, you know, the money ball at the final.
They're so darn gassed by then.
Not
many of them got it out.
But that's how Jordan Walker ended up winning. He kept hitting them on the money ball in the final round, and he got hot and ended up winning over Kyle Schwarber.
He has a nice, sweet swing.
He does. It was perfectly made for the Home Run Derby, and I hope it screwed up his swing for the rest of his career because he's going to be a good one. But I
thought it was cool. I mean, the whole stadium was against him.
Anyone. Yeah, especially Philadelphia. They're booing. They got quiet when he won. It was pretty
funny.
Did because usually in anywhere else you would see you know, fans would still be going nuts because, you know, it's a lot of homers. But they wanted Schwarbs to win.
They wanted Harper, I think, the most, but Harper didn't show up.
Yeah, he wasn't very good in his round. But I very much enjoyed it. The All-Star game was a snooze fest.
I did not watch any of that, to
be honest. I watched Pete Crow Armstrong didn't get in that bat till the eighth inning, so I watched until he got in that bat, and he got one of their two hits. That's how bad the National League was, and they got shut out.
Bellinger wins the MVP. All he did was hit a single, right?
Yep, hit a two-run single in the first inning, and that was it, because nothing happened after that. A White Sox, Miguel Vargas hit a homer late.
I would think you would give it to the guy who hit a homer over a guy who hit a single.
Well, the guy who hit a single was technically the game-winning hit, I think, because
and he's a Yankee. So.
Yeah, it was a snooze fest. Next year, it's in Wrigley, though, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. Now,
hopefully, we have baseball next year, so I can. Enjoy
that wasn't it. Known until like a week ago, right?
No, it was known. They announced, but then they had unleashed the logo or revealed the logo. Like that this week, so it got more buzz. Okay. Hopefully, there's baseball. Surprised,
how was that not like? Yeah, they way before now.
I'm gonna have to look into maybe going to the Home Run Derby or something. There,
that'd be fun. It's on a bucket list of yours as a baseball fan. You got
depending on how much tickets. Yeah, especially Wrigley, especially in Wrigley, it'll be absurd. Hopefully,
Rizzo will probably be in the outfield catching homers.
Probably, yeah. That's now the second time he's added a homer hit right to him. But hopefully, the wind's blowing out because in the Home Run Derby in 1990, when Wrigley Field hosted, I guess the wind was howling in.
And was that the last time they hosted?
Yeah.
The 99.
No, the winner was Ryne Sandberg, which again, Cubs, so the place was going nuts. He hit three homers his entire round and he won the Home Run Derby. That's how, horrible it was. But.
So call it right now. What Cubs representing next year?
Problem is, looking at the roster, there's no one really on there currently. They're like, man, that guy's the Home Run Derby participant for sure. I think PCA probably be the guy, but he's as self-aware of an athlete as I've ever seen. So he's like, it's just not my game. I don't really want to do it. I don't want him to screw up his swing, honestly. It seems like you'd have to have somebody.
Is there anybody down AAA that could be on the roster by next year and could be power enough to?
No.
No.
Not really. Depends on what they do this offseason. Maybe they'll get a guy. But I honestly prefer it if my guys aren't in the Home Run Derby because we've seen so many guys have terrible second halves after they are in the Home Run. I say the same thing about the World Baseball Classic. You always see guys struggle if they're in the WBC, and that has come to fruition a lot this year. But
it'd be cool if we could – have a time machine, go back in time to like 08, but have the rules of baseball now and host at Wrigley, and Carlos Zambrano could have been in it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Could have been in it. That would have been fun. Yeah. That would have been really fun. But yeah, as I said, Cubs had an okay, weekend, but the Brewers just don't seem to lose. So it doesn't matter. As they had three straight wins coming from behind, in later innings, they ended up winning. But, yeah, Cubs still have a healthy 4.5 game lead of a wild card spot. I think they're a game up on Philadelphia for the top spot. The team that's surging right now is the Pittsburgh Pirates. They are currently tied for that last spot in the wild card. Yeah, their pitching is going to get better, but they are leading baseball in runs last I checked. I think I said it last week, too. But the trade deadline, I think, is 2 weeks from tonight, August 3rd. Is that 2 weeks from tonight? I think it is.
It is, yes.
So 2 weeks from tonight, so I think we'll be starting to see some deals being made.
I did see a trade next today.
Week or two. Today you did.
The Rockies and Dodgers made a trade. I hadn't heard of anybody here, but let me run it by and see what you think. Buster Olley. Oh, crap. Wasn't him who...
Probably Jeff Passan, I imagine.
Yeah. You can keep talking. I'll find it.
Elsewhere around baseball, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because it's only been a three-game series. So not a whole lot of movement, really. But did you see you did see the controversy this week because you sent it out to our group. Bruce Levine, Cubs beat writer for Marquee Network. He's worked for the Cubs for a long time, or as a beat writer. I think he was with the Tribune at one point. Now he's with Marquee Network, and he works for 670 The Score. He sent out a tweet that was clearly supposed to be a text message to somebody on the Cubs coaching staff, whether that's Craig Counsell or somebody, but he said, he said in a tweet, again, accidental tweet, you and the 12, or you and the other coaches on staff are the MVPs of this team being 12 games over 500. Hopefully Twinkle D and Twinkle Dumb don't sell you out like they did in 2025. Have a good time with the family this week or something like that, pal. And so he's very clearly talking about Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins in the Cubs front office. And he obviously had to walk it back, and he apologized, and everyone's kind of moved on. But what he said was not inaccurate. You look, last year they had a chance to make some good moves at the deadline, and they ended up trading for Mike Soroka to be a starter. He made one start and got hurt in the second inning, and then he pitched out of the bullpen and was terrible. They needed multiple starters last year. Shota Imanaga was horrible towards the end of the year. Matt Boyd, terrible. Cade Horton was the only guy that kind of kept him afloat, and they could have used somebody else. Bullpen stunk last year, and they went and signed or traded for Andrew Kittredge, who was solid. But then Taylor Rogers was horrible. They needed a third baseman. Willie Castro, traded for him, hit like a $1.60. So he's not wrong. The funny part is the Cubs celebrated, or they had their 10-year reunion for the 2016 World Series team over the weekend. And Theo Epstein was obviously there. And he wore a shirt that it was a caricature of Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins, said Twinkle D and Twinkle Dumb. And he wanted to
ask if anybody made any t-shirts.
Which, that is classic Theo to do something like that, because he and Jed are like best friends, so he's always making fun of him and doing stuff like that. And it was pretty cool seeing the reunion. Obviously, some guys weren't there because they're still under contract with other teams. Everyone's like, where's Chris Bryan at? Well, he's still getting paid by the Colorado Rockies. Javi Baez, obviously, with the Tigers. Chapman with the Red Sox. Schwarber with the Phillies. Wilson Contreras with the Red Sox as well. But it was cool seeing a lot of those guys back that you haven't seen or even thought about in a long time. And then first inning, Michael Busch hits a long home run to the bleachers. They're all sitting out in the bleachers, too, which is awesome. You could have just gone and sat right next to him up there. And I wish I was at that game, but I wasn't. But Michael Busch hits a long home run to the bleachers right to Anthony Rizzo. And he got a... hold it up, and he put it in his kid's hand, his one-year-old kid. He held him up with the ball, so that was a pretty cool moment. But not a whole lot of other action that I can even think of around the sport.
The Rockies trade reliever Seth Holverson to the Dodgers for two prospects.
Oh, okay.
And you've probably heard of prospects, but I don't know.
I'm not as good with prospects anymore as I used to be.
Nick Frasso is a right-handed reliever.
Oh, yeah, I know he is.
And outfielder Landon Vidorek. I don't know. Vidourek, 22-year-old outfielder.
Nope, I don't know him.
Class A guy.
Seth Halverson. Let's see what he has done this year. He is.
Probably nothing pitching in Colorado. Dodgers wanted him, so
probably nothing. He has an ERA of 4.74. He's only 26. Peripherals aren't very good. So it was a minor deal, it looks like.
Yeah.
But, it's
still kind of weird to trade within division, but whatever.
It is. Cubs game is delayed supposedly tonight, which makes sense because we're supposed to get some storms here in a little bit. But yeah, 3-game set with the Tigers this week, and then they go to Pittsburgh for 3. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes here leading up to the trade deadline. So you want me to hit you with that birdie bogey?
Yeah, because I've honestly, the God, kind of forgot the question.
Dansby Swanson is tied for fourth most. I'm going to start that over. Dansby Swanson has 9 consecutive seasons with 10 or more home runs, which is tied for fourth longest streaks of any AL or National League primary shortstops. Tied with Trey Turner. Can you name the 3 guys ahead of him that have had more consecutive
seasons? All played in our lifetime. Primary shortstop, so Alex Rodriguez does not count because you count him as a primary third baseman.
Correct.
How many years in a row? 10?
Dansby's done it 9 in a row, so these guys have done it 10 or more.
10 or more. Yeah. Gonna take a stab at a guy that was one of the answers 2 weeks ago, Jimmy Rollins.
Incorrect.
Gosh dang it. I'm literally thinking off my head right now because I didn't write anything down.
Think of very good shortstops in our lifetime.
I am trying.
I'm not giving you a
I can't bar think of anything.
You're getting a bogey.
That's fine. What's the tally for the year, by the way?
You're plus three, I'm plus six. So
well, now I'm plus four. Just give it to me.
You're plus three.
Now I'm plus three. Just give it to me. I can't think of anything.
Derek Jeter.
I figure there's one year he got hurt or something.
That's a fair assumption. He did it from 96 to 2010.
He came to my mind, but I thought he got hurt one year.
So. Cal Ripken Jr. played 2,000 games.
Should have thought of that one.
This one was more difficult because you kind of forget about him, although he was an MVP. Miguel Tejada.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely forgot about him.
Yeah, I would have forgot about him too. Honestly.
I should have done better than I did. That's embarrassing, but it's usually embarrassing when I'm putting for par and get a bogey. So
yeah, well. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. I'll promise to wear sleeves next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody.